Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is James, a.k.a. Lips. And tonight we are encoring Sherry Johnson from back from when she was on with us back in September in preparation for her appearance tomorrow. Her and Dennis White will be with us live tomorrow to discuss something that happened to them recently where they were faced with discrimination and harassment by an officer in South Carolina. So they will be on with us tomorrow. If you haven't seen the story, it's on Jeffrey's Facebook page and will be shared on the Uncensored Radio Facebook fan page today. But they will be on with us tomorrow, so be sure to tune in tomorrow and check it out. But in the meantime, enjoy the show from September with guest Sherry Johnson.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, Michael.
UCR.
Are you ready for this film?
Go. They're saying only one. Give it to you, not go. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Well, hello, hey there, and good evening, everybody. This here is Uncensored Radio, your guiltiest pleasure. And I, of course, is the hostess with the mousest, Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. Go on, go ahead, applause, I'll wait. Alongside me this evening, I've got Miss Daisy May.
Hello, love.
Hey, Puddin' Pop. We've got Topher.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. And we've got our crazy lunatic resident blonde in the house, Katrina A. Johnson from Nickelodeon's All That. How you doing?
That'd be me. Just peachy. Another fabulous, crazy day in Sin City for me.
It's so funny you mentioned peachy, because our friend that's coming on at 9:30 today, Miss Cherry Johnson, has a book out called Peaches and Cream.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to hear all about it, because not only is she an amazing actress that we all grew up watching, but she's also a writer, producer, director, you know, jack of all trades. I'm excited to hear.
She truly is. Like, I was just looking some stuff up, and she really does it all. Like, she has, like, a 7-book deal. She's been acting. She's produced 10 movies. Like, she's keeping busy.
She's no joke. She's the real deal. She reminds me of Ms. Ashley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, just a diva, basically. Well-rounded diva.
I can't believe how great she looks. She so
yeah,
looks,
no, she looks good.
She looks really
and young.
Good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that, especially because Punky Brewster was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Oh, see, we were meant to be friends because that was my favorite show growing up. I wanted to be Punky Brewster's friend. I wanted to be Cherry.
Oh, girl.
I wanted Brandon. I wanted her dog. That was like the best dog ever. He ran away. Everybody was sad. That was the dog that everybody needed to have. Everybody wanted a Brandon in their life.
It's true.
No. I wanted a treehouse. We're talking about Punky Brewster, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, I just did a lot. I wanted that damn treehouse. But you know what? I'm going to bring this up. She's probably going to kill me. Who watched the show? Who watched Punky Brewster?
I did. I watched it every week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you remember the episode where they were playing hide and go seek?
Yes.
And Cherry Johnson hid in an old refrigerator that was out back underneath Punky Brewster's playhouse, and she got trapped in there and she couldn't breathe, and they had to do CPR, and that was like the big episode, like learn CPR and save your friend, and then there was like the warning, do not hide in a refrigerator or other
options. Oh,
like,
my God. I was a lot traumatized when she locked herself in that refrigerator. I said, what the hell are you doing in there? That's not a place to hide. You hide in the box. You don't hide in the refrigerator itself. Traumatized for years. And I tell you what, the episode that Brandon was lost, that her dog was lost, and the episode that Sherry was locked in the refrigerator are the only two episodes I think people remember. That's it.
No.
Am I wrong?
There was the one where they were trapped in a cave. Or there was something where they were in a cave camping or some crap, and there was like a ghost spirit came, and then like the Indian Punky Brewster came, and she was like wearing feathers, and it was like today's standard, completely racist.
Normal.
And
oh
yeah, like
Lord.
No, horrible. Like, you know, she's wearing, like, the Indian feather in the back of her head and shit. Like, no, people would be offended today. But it was, like, her Indian spirit that came and saved them from, like, the evil boogeyman in the cave. And then they magically, like, got out somehow.
Wow.
I don't remember, like, every single episode like this. Like, I need to go brush up. Is it on Netflix?
I have not seen the show in probably over a decade. I don't remember every
Jeffrey's
episode
our
like
resident,
this.
He's our resident Wikipedia.
Oh, goodness.
He remembers
no,
everything
cheating.
About everything.
No, like, I loved Punky Brewster as a kid. Like, it was one of my favorite shows. I even watched the cartoon. I had, like, the coloring books, the stuffed animal. That's what's up.
All right. That,
and then,
yeah, it, you're serious.
Like, I was. I loved it. Like, I mean, yeah, it was crazy. And then, you know, she's on Family Matters, which, who, I mean, everybody's got to have seen that.
Yeah.
Really? That's all I get is a yeah?
That's all I
that
get.
That was for me.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, of course.
Mr. Urkel? Like, and now I can't remember, though. I want to say her name in the show is Maxine, that she went with Eddie's best friend, Waldo, there. I could be mistaken. We'll have to ask her when she gets on air, but I'm so thrilled.
I'm really ecstatic. I can't wait to hear the story of how her role on Punky Brewster came about. Because I heard a rumor that her famous uncle wrote the pilot, and he was just naming a character after her, and she's like, oh, no, no one's going to play me but me, and that's how it came about. I want to hear the story, though, from her and see if it's true.
That's awesome.
I know. I want to know, like, how do you go from, like, because, I mean, she was a child star, and, it, you know, it kind of worked for her. She was on, I think, Punky Brewster was on for, like, 4 years, and then I think there was a little bit of a break, and then she was on Family Matters. For, like, 8 years, or 6 years at least. You know, so how she, I don't remember hearing any crazy stories of her about getting DWI or slamming into shit.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it. That's awesome.
You knew where I was going.
Oh, yeah. You had to go there. And we had to let you.
Mm-hmm.
I think
well,
her... Yeah, I think her character's name on Family Matters was Maxine Johnson.
It was.
Yep. I just said that,
well,
girl.
Oh, I didn't know you said Johnson. She's a Johnson in every show. I like that. She's my long-lost relative.
She's made, I mean, she's just everywhere. She made appearances on The Parker, The Proud Family, Days of Our Lives, starred and produced the film I Did. That premiered on I mean, she's just been all over the place. And I want to know, like, how do you go from, like, actor to getting such an amazing book deal? Her first book, Around the World Twice, was released a while ago. And then she had a poetry book, I Did, with her co-writer. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah,
the poetry
pretty...
book was called Two Different Walks of Life. I'm so sorry.
Come on, Jeffrey, get it together.
Her second novel, Peaches and Cream, just came out in August. So I can't
wait
to hear about the book.
That title just does something to me on the inside. Probably not what it's supposed to do.
And do you know she's an editor at large for Success Newspaper?
No, wow.
She's like a Jamaican.
Holy
shit.
Whoever Jennifer Aniston. Shit.
She's got a whole lot of hats on.
That's awesome.
She is all over the place. But, you know, speaking of child stars, Katrina, what's your best friend up to these days?
Oh, yeah, I can sense the sarcasm. I'm like, Daisy, what are you doing? Tell him. I don't know. You would probably be talking about Amanda Bynes there, aren't you?
Oh, just a little bit, don't you know?
Yeah, oh, I know. She just pled not guilty. Get this, not guilty. Ha, 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 ha. Not guilty to 2 hit and runs, 2 DUIs, and 2 counts of driving on a suspended license. That right there is 6 charges, boys and girls. So she could easily go away for, like, at least a year. So I've taken baking classes. I'm going to be baking her a cake with a big old saw in it. And I'm a walk around pacing out front of the jail with a T-shirt on that says Free Amanda Bynes. Because she's way more entertaining to me when she's not behind bars and she's just being crazy.
Yeah.
As much as I like to talk smack about the train wreckness, just because, you know, I can relate, I don't think really that jail's the right place for her. I don't know. We can do something else to channel those talents in a positive way. Like, give her a daycare or something to run.
I'm so afraid for the children.
And make a reality show out of it.
No.
And let me watch.
I have to get behind the wheel to take somebody to the dentist appointment. It's going to be a mess.
Well, she'd be so fun, though. But
she'd
be so fun.
No, she's had a knit. She's at home all the time. She needs some driver's ed, she needs some therapy, and she needs some Jesus. That's what she needs.
Well, look, and just because marijuana is legal in California doesn't mean you can smoke it in the presence of children.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't she get caught doing that in her friend's garage?
No.
I read somewhere that she did, yeah. Allegedly.
She said
supposedly.
It was salvia, wasn't it?
They all say that. What a crock of salvia that is, if you ask me.
Here's my thing, though. Like, first they said that her lawyers were leaving her, and then they said that, no, they're still with her and her legal team. It's like, if you have a legal team, like any attorney, I'm not an attorney, but I can think, hey, there's probably the city attorney is giving you a plea bargain. Why aren't you taking it? Why aren't you telling her to take it? You know?
Because there's no money in that.
That's true.
Yeah.
But she can't have that much money.
Think that having Amanda run a daycare is a great punishment.
To the kids.
Shut down, you fuckers. We're going to bring in Amanda.
Exactly.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know
if she
reads
it.
Of her Amanda show.
Yeah, they might think she's funny.
Probably. She talks to herself and stuff. They think she's entertaining. Like, look, Mommy, it's a movie in person.
That child. I hope she gets better. You know, I don't wish no harm on nobody.
Well, I don't
right.
wish any harm, but I don't want her to get better, like be boring, like be a square. That's no fun for me.
I think you're just bitter because
I just want her to be functional.
On Twitter.
I know. I should be more bitter than I am, but I just, you know, okay. I wish her well. I
like,
just
you know
don't
you
want
made
her to
it when Amanda Bynes
me.
Is pissed off at you enough to block you on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, you and President Obama are probably the only two blocked on her Twitter page now.
No, why are you calling President Obama? I thought
and Lindsay Lohan.
Him for help.
I thought it would have gone over so much better than it did.
Whoops. Yeah. But the fans ate it up, but, you know. That's all.
Yeah, okay. Go to hell.
But that's all.
You know, I think at every point in, and you know, I'm not a celebrity, I'm not a former child star at all. I think there's a point where you just kind of break. You know, you're not the child star that you were your claim to fame. You're not the one. You're not that person anymore. You're an adult, and it's really hard for you to kind of move into that role. Jennifer Aniston's the other way around. She made it big as an adult, and now that she's kind of moving into her adult years, she's not doing all that well. I think that everybody kind of has that hiccup. Everybody just has that point where it's just like, I just don't want to fucking do this anymore. And they kind of lose their shit. It just happens that everybody is behind the wheel of the car when they decide they're going to do that over and over and over again. That I don't understand. Why
Wait,
are you driving
did you say Jennifer kid? Aniston?
Yeah, when did she lose her mind?
Well, not lost her mind, but, like, she was this big actress. You know, she was everywhere, and, you know, she was a big A-list star. Everybody wanted her movies, and her movies suck now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I
she's still getting
well, they've always sucked.
Right. I know, like, she's never really had a big successful movie career.
Thank
she's
you. Just, yeah, tell me which good one that I missed that she was in.
Okay, there's quite a few that I like, but I mean, I don't.
Thank
she's never
you.
Really been in big blockbusters.
Yeah,
she
no, not a fan.
Wasn't the
yeah.
that Jake Gyllenhaal one where she, like, cheated on her husband with the Jake Gyllenhaal character that he wanted to be called Catcher from Catch on the Rye?
Desperate.
Oh,
Desperate,
yes,
that
was a good movie.
Despair.
That was a very good movie. I don't remember what that was, but I'll look it up right now. But that was a really good movie. That was another side of her that I hadn't seen, because I was used to all of the, you know, the funny, the romance comedies, you know, the Picture Perfect, and, you
right.
know, the one with the gay guy where Paul Rudd, where it was she had a baby.
Was that Picture
yeah.
Perfect?
Yeah. Was that Picture Perfect?
I thought that was Picture Perfect. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Well, the only one I liked that she ever did was Horrible Bosses, because she was a horny aggressor,
that
and I could
great.
Relate. but other than that, maybe... Okay, fine, Along Came Polly. I loved her in that, and that's it.
Well, that
movie.
Was good.
Great movie.
What about Rumor Has It? Yeah.
No, I mean, who hired Kevin Costner anyway? I'm sorry.
I love Kevin Costner.
I do. I love him in Dancing with the Wolves.
She did
okay.
not just say Dancing with the Wolves.
She did, but she tried to mutter it under her breath, and you just put her on blast.
Of course
no,
I am.
No, I just said Dances with Wolves. I like that
no.
movie, okay?
Look it.
Tatanka.
It's like ramen noodles. You know everybody has them, but we don't talk about them.
Exactly.
Dances with Wolves is one of those movies that everybody
seems. It's like you could, yeah, but
Water
you could
hold on.
You could experience it properly on mute.
Hold on. Did
like,
you just say ramen?
It's like porn.
He just said ramen. I thought it was ramen. Isn't
ramen,
it called
ramen?
Ramen,
top ramen,
he also
top
says,
ramen.
He also says elementary school.
I heard him say, what was it, Chicken Filla?
Chicken Filla. I remember that he said Chicken Filla.
No, that wasn't me. That was Fishman. I said Chicken Filet.
It's not Chicken Filet either.
I know it's not. Yep. Did I even use the word? It was derailed. It was in derailed.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I like this conversation is getting.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right.
Sorry.
Okay,
you
wait.
Bring it back there.
Excuse me. I did find a breakup or a movie that she was in that actually did amazing. The Breakup.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
I was disappointed, though, because it wasn't funny enough. It was too real.
Well, I don't think it was supposed to be funny.
Well, it sounds like it is, and in the trailer it looks like it's going to be funny, so you expect it to be funny, and then it's not.
I thought it was a great film. Like,
sorry.
I
disappointed. Next.
Did anybody see Wanderlust?
She was in Bruce Almighty. She was in Bruce Almighty, and that was a great movie.
I liked that one.
She played a great character in that.
Just Go With
good.
It was kind of funny-ish, a little bit, not really.
All right, cool. You guys will probably talk to me later then. Nobody saw Wanderlust?
No.
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 Okay. I've been curious, that's all. It looks funny, but I'm not sure.
What
yeah, we're
about...
mocking you secretly under our breath right now.
It's not secret, but she just put me on blast.
Oh, my man.
Oh. The movie that I was talking about was The Good Girl. That's the one that she did with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Boring.
That's what it was. That's what
boring.
It was one
Next.
Of those like, dark comedies where it just you were kind of uncomfortable watching the movie, but you couldn't stop
boring.
Watching the movie because it kind of held your interest. All
yeah.
right. That's
like
what
like
boring,
the rest of her
boring.
Movies. They kill all my interest. I know.
Okay, so
okay.
don't pick on me when I tell you that her career kind of sucked as an actress. She used to say as a TV show, as like a sitcom person, because she was great.
Oh,
okay.
You were saying that it sucked now, that it was, you were implying that it was once good.
Yeah, and I'm
well,
saying that her film career
good.
Has never been good.
We've all came up with movies that was good, and we're all coming up with movies as to how
three.
She was just absolutely terrible.
There's three good ones.
And they were in
out
her early
bunch.
Career after she finished her, or as she was in the transition of moving from Friends. To movie roles, right? Uh-huh.
Well, no,
see?
I think Horrible Bosses that she was just recently in was great.
Only because, it was only great because she played somebody else other than this whining rich bitch.
And just
That's
go
true.
With it.
Touche. Correct.
Actually did well at the box office.
Actually, I thought that was pretty funny. That was a pretty funny movie.
I like that one.
You like it too, Kat, because you always eat the mushroom. Eat the mushroom. Yes, yes.
Are you kidding?
I like that part better than I like the whole movie.
Well, that was like, did you see Jack and Jill?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay, that movie agitated my face, but then I went and watched the deleted scenes, and the movie actually made sense once I watched the deleted scenes because they like cut out really important parts of the plot. I'm not really sure why, but the only part of that movie, like, I mean, I was like doing my hysteric laughing where I can't breathe, and there's nothing coming out, and I'm gonna die laugh.
Very dramatic.
It was great because he like comes in and like it's
hang on, don't spoil it. I haven't seen it. What's the movie about?
Jack and Jill. It's Adam Sandler. He plays himself, and then
he plays Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember okay. that. It looked like such a terrible plot line.
It was actually. I mean, there was parts of it that were cute, and if you watch the deleted scenes, the movie will actually be enjoyable.
Okay.
And it makes sense once you watch the deleted scenes. But there's a scene in it where they're on a cruise ship and Adam Sandler comes out being dressed as his sister, pretending to be her, and like whoever was working at the ship, like the guy who like roams the halls or whatever it is, or the bathroom attendant, like fixes his tits for him, his fake boobs, and then the real sister comes. And the guy goes up and grabs the boobs and adjusts them again. And she just hauls off and cold clocks him. And then she just looks and she's like, come on, really? I don't know.
You're so wrong. You are so wrong. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay. That's it. Stick a fork in him. He's done. That's enough.
Do you know what my favorite, like, comedy is, and it like, never gets old, and it's so underrated?
I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry.
All that? You're right. I agree.
No,
On the Glowian?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Sorry. No.
Okay.
I heard that younger actress, not the one that's Amanda Bynes, but the other younger one, well, you know, she has a couple of issues.
She sounds non-important.
You know,
are you talking about Jamie Lynn Spears?
No.
Daisy, what you're saying is your favorite show is the Amanda Show.
No.
Oh.
Hell no.
Would you happen to be talking about Miss Katrina A. Johnson?
Yeah, that one.
Oh.
I think that's her name. I don't know. I haven't heard from her in a long time.
I heard she was a big floozy.
She did porn.
You wish you could do what I could do. You wish I was a floozy just so you could live vicariously through me and my labia. You wish.
Guilty.
Yeah, I said it. What?
Guilty.
I love it.
I know. If it were up to Jeffrey, I would shtup not only every single Power Ranger, but also Michael Fishman, our dear friend and co-host of the show. Yeah. And pretty much everything and everyone else that we come in contact with, Jeffrey's like, come on, get in. Come on, just go take a peek at it. Come on, just take him in the bathroom. Just let me know what it looks like. Come on.
Well, I'm like, Jeffrey already wanted to
behave. Yeah, I
already wanted
you to
take
cousin,
pictures.
George. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm like, listen, if I actually tried to shtup everyone that you tell me to shtup, I would, like, have nothing left. I'd be exhausted. And I wouldn't even have enough energy to do this
tires.
Show. Just saying.
So,
yeah.
I call that interviewing, which is where you go and you have somebody do the legwork and they come back to you and report to you kind of, you know, what's going on. I did that with a friend of mine. She was like, oh, he just went to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. I'm like, what happened to the bathroom? Just interview him then. I'm not interviewing him in the bathroom. You don't talk to anybody in the bathroom. So I'm
That's
sitting
awkward.
There pretending to pee.
And it's like, how are you doing? I couldn't do it. And I turned around and I walked away. Obviously, I wasn't peeing. I didn't have my thing out at all. But it was like, I just can't do this. You just can't talk to somebody in the bathroom.
Well, I need to know, is there anywhere near Greenwood, South Carolina?
Why do you want to know?
Just because it's Howard's run out. Because I just, there's this poor family, mother and five puppies, that are going to be killed due to overcrowding at a shelter in South Carolina.
Please,
and it just breaks my heart.
Oh my God.
So if you're anywhere near the area and you can take in a mother and five puppies, please, please, I'll put it on our Facebook page. It just breaks my heart to where I'm like ready to drive to South Carolina to go pick up this dog and her five puppies.
You better not come to South Carolina to pick up them damn puppies and not come see me. I live about 3 hours
away. I'll punch you in your man memories.
Oh, you're all getting fresh now.
Hang on.
Yeah, that's what I do. What, is this your first date?
That's true.
Maybe.
Hello?
Just a little bit.
Oh, well. So what do you guys do today? Anything exciting?
I did chit chat an hour ago, an hour and a half ago.
Oh, I know. I was listening. It was exciting.
Did you meet a creeper on the line?
Oh, yeah, big time. I was in the chat room, too.
Ugh, goodness gracious. I don't even want to
know. I especially liked it when you said, my husband is like, you know, Katrina would say, eeyaw, eeyaw. Oh, yeah, I caught that there. Oh, yes, I did. I got my shout-out. Thank you, thank you. Caught that. Mm-hmm. It was good. I like to be a creeper on the line, but I don't like to call in anymore, because if you guys notice my number, you'll unmute me. And then it's not creeper status. That defeats the whole purpose.
I know. I was looking for your number today, actually, and then I figured out you were listening online.
My wicked laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I got a massage today, and I was at the salon, and then as I was trying to leave, I got recognized, and I was really embarrassed because I was kind of a bitch to my massage therapist. Not on purpose, but I was a little traumatized by that story we did about the personal trainer who had the incident where he accidentally clumped himself on his client. And so that's all I could picture is what happens if this dude loses his baby gravy on my feet. What am I going to do? And for some reason, that's all I could think is I'm getting this massage and I'm getting really mad. And it's not the guy's fault that I'm thinking this and he has no idea what's going on or why I'm in a bad mood. And then just as I'm leaving, the girls who are checking me out at the front desk are like, you look really familiar. Are you famous? Are you on all that? And I'm like, well, and then I had to admit it, and it's extra embarrassing because I was kind of rude to the guy, but I didn't mean to be, but I was, and it was embarrassing because then I got called out. Almost as embarrassing as when I got called out as the girl was spray tanning me, and I'm standing there naked with my Pikachu in her face, and she's like, I used to watch your show. Oh, great, thanks. It's embarrassing. And now you've watched all of me now, haven't you? Sorry. Yeah.
As much as I love to hear about your amazing massage story, you know who we have on the line right now?
Who?
I think I do.
Tell me who.
Well, I do believe we have the fabulous, famous, accomplished Miss Cherry Johnson on the line.
Woo-hoo! Yes, we do.
Thank you so much. That was such a sweet intro.
How are you doing?
I'm great, Boo. How are you?
I'm good.
We're very excited to have you on today's show. We've been beside ourselves.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
You missed it a little earlier. I opened the show with a little mix of a little theme songs of maybe a few shows you've been on in the past.
Okay.
And then I was totally, like, bringing out trivia, or just, there was episodes that popped in, and they all kind of made fun of me, but I was just wondering what it was like as a child to kind of be stuffed in a refrigerator.
It was like getting a really big paycheck for something that was fun and silly anyway. No, I mean, you know what? I hate to bust everybody's bubble, but it was so cute. Like, the first AD and the director and the producers were really worried about, you know, putting a kid in the refrigerator, because the way refrigerators used to be made is once the door shut, they really would lock, and I couldn't open it either. So at the very last minute, like, we had worked out little signals for me to knock on it so that the first AD could let me out if there was a problem. Mm-hmm. The first AD has children. His name is David Waiter, and I will never forget this man as long as I live. He went and got a drill and some screwdrivers and was like, I can't do it. He took the back of the refrigerator off.
I was going to say, you're like, maybe like, drill a hole in the back.
I was
going
like, to
put some air in for you. For those of you that don't know, we're talking about Punky Brewster. But it was like a whole, like, kind of public service announcement of, like, don't get in the refrigerator, kids.
It was. And really, when we had rehearsed it all week, that the back of the refrigerator was on, you know. So I didn't even know it. And then he was scared because we were taping in front of a studio audience. And because the show had children in it, he was like, what if somebody messes up their line? What if she's in there extra long? What if she doesn't get to knock? And he just, I remember right before the show, he was like, he freaked out. And he put the back of the refrigerator, he like leaned it up against itself, I guess, but he took the refrigerator off. So if there was any problem, all I had to do was reach my hand up and it would fall over.
Oh, that's cool.
Man.
Yeah,
that makes
so,
me feel a little better.
I'm sorry I traumatized people for the past 30 years, but you guys, I was fine. I could breathe. It was acting.
You hear that, Jeffrey? Calm down.
I'm telling you, I had nightmares as a child of Cherry Johnson being trapped in a refrigerator, and I couldn't help.
Well, you learned your lesson, didn't you?
My big ass could never get in a refrigerator, so I was fine, except to eat. But, you know, I wasn't going to fit. But so, okay, we all know you, you know, started, or at least that's how I know from started knowing you, was on Punky Brewster. How did you get into the industry? Like, we heard a little rumor Katrina was talking earlier about how you got into it.
Well, it probably wasn't a rumor. My uncle wrote the show, and he just thought that it would be cute for me to see my name on television. And he handed me the script one day and said, Cherry, read this and tell me what you think. He thought I was going to be like, oh, my name, because he used all of our family members' names on every show that he ever did. Well, me being me, I was like, cool, when do we go to work? And he was like, no, boo. This isn't for you. This is just your name. And I was like, well, that's stupid. How can you use my name and not let me do it? I was like, she looks like me and everything. So I convinced my aunt that she should take me on the audition. My uncle, I don't think, was thrilled, but whatever. He had to keep his marriage together, so he had to agree to let me go on the audition. They auditioned here and then in California, and then they went to New York and Chicago, and they still hadn't found the little girl. So they opened up auditions again, and I convinced my aunt, I don't think I should have to go to school today because I think I should go on an audition. Because it's my aunt. After doing that to my aunt and uncle 7 times, finally the president of NBC was like, dude, every time we audition, your niece comes, and she's kind of getting better than she was the first time. Let's just give her the job. So persistence gave me a career I never knew I wanted.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That is great. And then you like, kind of grew up, and, you, I mean, you were a child star, you were on Punky Brewster, and then you went on to Family Matters.
Yes.
So you've never really been out of the spotlight, and how have you not become, like, a crazy train wreck?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, okay, child stars are a really small community, right? But when you think about it with, like, the people that you went to high school with, everybody went to high school with a hoe. Everybody went to high school with somebody who did drugs. Everybody went to high school with somebody who ends up stabbing somebody or something at least once, right?
Sure.
Really, like, we don't do anything different than anybody else. But it's just that our life is looked at under a microscope. You might not know that that chick that you went to school with is now on a pole somewhere. But God forbid one of us get on a pole and take off our clothes. The world knows.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. It's like, you know, I didn't become a train wreck because I knew my mom would kill me.
So you had a good home life then.
I'm
taking
black
it. Your mom was there.
I'm black and Puerto Rican. They believe in beating their children, you know?
So you had the fear of God in you to screw up because you knew your mother would beat your ass.
Yes, and my mom told me early, you ain't paying no bills in this house, and the only stars in the world are in the sky, and your ass is very touchable. You cannot touch a star.
Oh.
That's amazing. So I'm taking it, and your mother has given you the drive to keep going, and now you're like this amazing author who has like a huge book deal. How did
Thank
that come about?
So much. Well, I used to have a huge book deal. I had a 7 book deal, but after publishing my first book, I figured out it wasn't all what it was cracked up to be. Like, they gave you a little bit of money, and you still have to do all the work yourself. So my second book, I decided, you know what, I'm tired of, like, I've already taken my acting career into my own hands and started producing. So I was like, I'm starting my own publishing company. I'm terminating my book deal since I had to do all the work the first time around. I'm going to continue to do all the work, and I'm going to reap all the benefits. So now I started my own publishing company. I gave myself a deal, and I put out my own book.
That's awesome. Wow.
Thank you so much.
And the new book is called Peaches and Cream, and it just came out in August, right?
Yes, it did.
Okay, so give us a scoop. What's the book about? Because I'm dying to read it.
Oh, so cute. I hope I sent you the chapters, and if I didn't, I'm sorry. I will definitely send them over. Peaches and Cream is about a little girl from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Her name is Peaches. Hence, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my name is Cherry. You know, there's a fruit in every hood, and I figured I needed to write about one. Cream is like a slang word for money in the hood. So it's about this little girl who learned the importance of money early, and she learned that it could, you know, it controls your life and mine. So she decides that she's willing to do any and everything to make sure that she stays on top and her money stays straight. Now, when I say that, everybody thinks, oh, it's a woman, so she's a hoe. No, she's a boss. She might control a few hoes, but she is not hoeing. And,
much like yourself.
Very much like myself.
Yeah.
And then Peaches deals with this issue that the world has right now. They love to put people in a box, and they love to label people either as, like, straight or bisexual or gay. Peaches is everybody's friend. You know, in my book trailer, I made it a point where I kissed a woman, and I didn't know that it was going to be such a big deal. Media Takeout froze that piece of the book trailer and put it on there. It was like, look at Cherry out with her new girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. Well, 750,000 people clicked on Media Takeout that day to see if I was gay or straight. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Because especially right now where everybody's voting and they're like, you know, should gay marriage be legal, da, da, da. It was like, okay, when I decided to do it, I was like, I'm a character that people adored and embraced. So do you think about me differently now because I kissed a girl? Do you not?
Well, did you like the taste of her cherry chapstick?
Honey, Jalissa Lynn, I don't know if you've seen her, but she is gorgeous and definitely gave me candy kisses.
Oh, hold on. Let's hear that name again. I'm Googling right now.
Her name is Jalissa, J-I-L-L-I-S-A, Lynn. Jalissa Lynn. She's gorgeous. I'll send you guys a book trailer. My mom.
Oh, wow.
When it
she looks like me, so great. If you're available.
See, you got that sweet little voice. You better watch yourself. But that's like Peaches. You know, she doesn't see why it's such a big deal. Yes, she loved her Pink Toes, and Pink Toes is the character that Jalissa played from the book. And then she falls in love with her Bryce, and she doesn't understand what the big deal is about, you know, people wanting to put her in a box. She's just like, I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of who likes it and who doesn't.
Wow, that's great.
Well, I think it's awesome that you, especially now, when there's so much controversy going on, especially with gay marriage, and I just happen to be a gay person who just got married over the summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's amazing, you know, I to sit back and watch somebody that you've grown up, you know, kind of stand up for that. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Growing up, my mother's best friend is a queen, and I have a sister. My sister is gay. You know, and people keep asking me now if I'm gay or I'm straight, and I just laugh at them. I tell them, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care.
That's
and I won't answer what my preference is because I really don't I don't understand why it's so important who I sleep with. And they asked me, well,
right.
did you enjoy the kiss? Yes, and I will kiss Jalissa Lynn every time I see her, as long as she allows me to.
I love it.
That's awesome.
That's
I
did not exciting.
Know we were going to get some scandal up in here today. I did not know about this little scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And she takes the scandal out of it, though. That's the beauty of it all.
Yeah, like, it's no big deal. And that's the way life should be. You know, people want to find dirt, and they want to make a big deal about something. My attorney called me, and it was so funny, and he was like, okay, do you want to sue? I was like, hold up, wait. You didn't want to sue when TMZ said I was doing Playboy, which I'm not. You didn't want to sue when they said I was pregnant. You didn't want to sue when they said I was engaged to Ricky Romance, who I've never even dated. You didn't want to sue when they said I was married to Shaheem Franklin, who, no, we did not get married. So why you want to sue me about my gay girlfriend? Just, I'm proud of her. I'm like, I did that one on purpose. Like, you know, this I knew was going to happen. So why would we sue?
That is great. Oh, man. That's
and
hilarious.
I think we have a lot of people in the chat room tonight. I want to let you know that there is a link up to the YouTube channel for you to check out. So just click the link in the chat room, and you can check out the book trailer.
Absolutely. You
oh,
know, it,
nice.
It's people like you, Sherry, that really kind of help the movement of acceptance. And, you know, I'm an openly gay man. I've been married for the last 2 years, and I think it's amazing how, you know, you use your voice and you use the power that you were given of having, you know, all these followers who listen to you and, who follow you every day, you know, to kind of change the way that people think, to change the mindset that if you're not straight, you're not accepted, you know. And I can only just say thank you, you know, so much. It means a lot for us.
Thank you. See, now I'm happy I opened my big mouth, because what the audience doesn't know is I had no idea that I'm on the radio with two gay men. That's just the way I feel. And you're right. It is the best part of doing what I do, and the best part of my career is to be able to fight for things that I truly believe in.
Right. And you know, we're a huge supporter of you, and we will support you from here on out. I mean, that's amazing. That means a lot to us.
Oh,
well,
thank you. It means a lot to
Sofer,
me, too.
I don't know about you, but Cherry Johnson has always had my heart. And ever since I was a little boy, I want her to be my best friend.
Well, you got that, boy. We grew up together.
Look at
no,
it.
No, you have to have a different color Converse to be her friend. You have to wear different color shoes.
You
know
the
rule.
The best part is about being on TV versus, like, films and stuff is you grow up in people's homes. You know, we eat dinner
right.
together, we go to the bathroom together. So it is kind of like when I get to meet people, we grew up together, and you really are my friend, Boo.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Like, we have such a crazy, like, cast of, like, child stars, and I'm, like, the one regular schmo that just happened to create a show that all these people have kind of joined on. We have, like, Karen Ashley, she's on the Power Rangers. She was on them, and she was in the movie. Katrina was on all that on Nickelodeon with Miss Amanda Bynes there.
That was my
and
girl.
Yeah, and we had, Michael Fishman, who played DJ on Roseanne. So everybody's kind of, it's kind of insane. Like, it's all, everybody's favorite stars from their childhood is, like, a part of Uncensored Radio. So
aww.
It's kind of nuts, and it's amazing to have you come on with us. And,
I
you know,
it.
Just talk about everything. And we do have some callers, but before we get to them, I know everybody, what is the question that you get asked the most about the show that you were on?
Oh, my God, it's either Where's Punky, Hook Me Up, Are You and Waldo Reed Together? Or everybody thinks it's funny to be like, Where's Waldo? And then dudes ask me all the time, they're like, dude, I know I can smash if Waldo is smashing. What's up?
Oh, wow. No.
Right. Yes, and then I have
that
to tell
is
him,
rude.
It is hella rude. And then I have to tell him, sweetie, I got paid to smash Waldo. If you can meet my quote, maybe we can work it out.
Awesome.
Greatest day ever.
Oh, okay. That's
what about
great.
Do you get a lot of the questions? Do you keep in touch with any of the cast members from either of the shows and who?
Soleil will be my friend for the rest of my life. People trip out when we talk on Twitter. I don't know why. But we're still friends, of course. Me and the guys from Family Matters, the little boy who played Little Richie, Brian McClure, is my baby. I will love him forever. Of course, the guy who played Waldo, we talk more than anybody because we talk at least once or twice a week. He's like my diary. He knows every stupid thing I've ever done. But that's because we've been friends since Punky Brewster. A lot of people don't know that he was really my first on-TV boyfriend. And that was, like, long before Family Matters. And then the guy who played Eddie, Darius McQuarrie, he's my love of all loves. So we're really close, too.
Yeah. Aww.
We had the same agent growing up, so we kind of knew each other before Family Matters started. And even Shavar Ross has done a lot of shows, like what's the one Gary Coleman used to do? What's up, Willis?
Different Strokes?
Yeah, he did Different Strokes, and he also did Family Matters. Shavar Ross and I are really close.
That's cool. We're just cool. Over, girl. It's so exciting. Like, I just love it when people come on, and we have our fans that listen to the show. Like, they all grew up with this stuff, and they're so obsessed. So are you down for taking some callers?
Yeah, let them rip.
All right. I'm not sure who this is. It says 31D from Twitter.
31D.
Hey,
okay.
From Twitter.
Yeah, good evening. How y'all doing this evening?
Good.
Hey,
how you doing?
Great, great. This is 31D from Twitter. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. And the question that I have for you this evening, do you have a TV series coming out in the making? It's like an hour episode, if you will.
No, I really don't. Right now, I have some TV show ideas, but everything that they try to give me, they're really interested in doing this whole reality thing, and I'm not really feeling it.
Okay, understandable. Yes.
I'm an actor. I want to play other characters. I don't really want people to know me as a person. Besides, I cuss too much for TV, so I don't know how I feel about that. But we can see. Never say never.
Yeah, because, you know, like an hour episode, because, you know, I have seen you with Punky Brewster, Family Matters, and, you know, I haven't caught none of your actual other movies because, you know, through our time and, you know, space, you know, a lot of other stuff come out and whatnot, but as far as the TV series, I think that would really fit on your resume as well.
Well, you gotta write the TV networks and tell them to put black girls back on TV, give some black people some jobs, and let us have some sitcoms and episodics again. If you do that, you know, networks meet supply and demand. So people are loving the Housewives, the Basketball Wives, the I Make a Fool Out of Myself on TV shows, and I'm not willing to do that.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Cherry, we just did it over the summer. We did a reality show based on our radio show.
And it was crazy, way crazier than we ever thought it would be. We didn't realize that we had that much going on.
Well, and reality is not so much reality. Like, I don't know if your producers came in and created drama, but that's what they do. That's the part that sells. If there's no drama, they don't want it.
Oh, it started out with just the producers creating drama, and then it just, like, took like wildfire and just became drama. And then the lines were completely blurred between reality and whatever, and we had no idea what was going on. But it was
Yeah. See, I don't wanna do that. Because and then it's like, you know, I would look like Evelyn, old girl that always hit people. And then
on Basketball Live.
Yeah, that would be me. I was just like, cause I'm not good at arguing. I'm a smart girl, so I'm not trying to dumb myself down, but I'm not intelligent enough to think of, like, words to fight with. But my fist is quick,
that's
so
funny.
That southpaw would have just, you know, pew, hit somebody, and then I would be in the wrong.
That's hilarious.
Oh,
just
this
like
is
Evelyn.
The greatest.
I love that.
Okay, well, if our show gets picked up, I swear I'm going to come and offer you a guest spot just because I want you to punch me in the face.
No way. That's the thing. Like, you know, I'm really just a ghetto girl with a good job. Like, I'm a project chick who got out of projects because I got a job. So, like, I would hit you, but then this other part of me would be like, oh, my God, why did I do that to him? And then I'd cry because I would feel so bad if I hurt you.
Aww.
So that's horrible. I would have to tell you, I'd be like, no, boo, no, I can't.
But Jeffrey likes to get punched in the face. That's the thing, though.
But I would cry afterwards. So
we have a running thing around here. I have this huge crush on LL Cool J, and, like, right when that guy, like, broke into his house or whatever, we were in L.A. filming, and we were kind of off the radar, and everybody was like, what did you do? because I always said that I would let LL punch me in the face and I'd stay with him. It's my one exception. Yes,
because
I would.
If LL punched you in the face, you got a homegirl named Cherry Johnson who would come stab the shit out of him.
Oh, yes.
I don't like domestic violence.
You can take the girl out the project. I don't either.
I am not down for domestic violence, but girl, that man, ooh.
What did J Lo say? Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Cherry from the block.
Okay, we've got Riley on the line. He's got a
question. Riley, welcome. What's your question?
Hello. First off, I'm just saying that I just love everything about this show so far. I'm loving the fact of the matter that I'm just hearing, you know, two openly gay guys, because I'm gay myself. It's just beautiful. But as far as Cherry is concerned, first, I think I've taken steps in communicating with Cherry. First, I tweeted with her on Twitter. Then I follow her on her like page on Facebook, and now I get to talk to her voice to voice. How you doing, Cherry?
I'm good, boo-boo. How are you?
All right. It's an honor and it's a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you finally.
Oh, thank you so much. That's uber sweet. Now you have to text me or, like, Facebook me or something afterwards so I know exactly who I was speaking with this deep old sexy voice.
Yes. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, you know, when I used to watch Family Matters, I used to always think that you, what's your name?
Maxine.
Kelly. I always thought that y'all were sisters because on certain angles that you guys sit on that show, I always thought y'all were twins because for some reason I was like, you know. But
yeah. Somebody started that rumor years ago. Like, we've heard that a lot. I think it's the forehead, the big forehead and the big teeth, but we're not related.
You did not.
I think she just has a fantasy about twins is all. I think that's where that came from. I don't think it had to do with the forehead.
Well, I hope he goes, instead of dropping you a line on Facebook, he needs to go order the book and drop you a line that way. And could you tell everybody where they can order the book?
Oh, absolutely. I am on Amazon.com. You guys can get it on BarnesandNobles.com. Or if you hit me up, you can pay RockstarCherry@gmail.com if you have PayPal 1995, and I'll send it to you myself. Again, you can get Peaches and Cream on Amazon.com. You can get it on BarnesandNobles.com or walk into Barnes & Noble's, and if they don't have it on the shelf, tell them to order it for you, and they will, because it should be available at all Barnes & Noble stores. Or you can hit me up on Twitter if you can't remember that. And, you know, if you have PayPal, I'll send it to you. On Twitter, I'm CherryJohnson75.
Well, I'm going to be sending you some cash flow in your PayPal account so I can get me my own personal copy sent from Miss Cherry Johnson.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Me too.
Thank you. And you guys, I've heard that it's pretty hot. Like, some of Zane's readers have come and they've told me that, I've made their sex life better.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh. Wait a minute. I didn't hear no part. There's some sex stuff going on in this book. It got a little 50 Shades in it.
Oh, what? You thought I was just going to kiss a girl and let it go with that? Come on now.
Oh, girl. You just started something.
I mean, come on. Like, for real, if I was going to go that far, you don't think I was going to take it a little further in the book? You know, the book is always better than what we see in the movies or on TV.
Good for you, girl. That's awesome.
Let me just put it this way. My grandmother has the book, right?
This is about to get good.
Right. Grandma called me and she said, "Hey, boo." I said, "Hi, Grandma." She said, "So I read that book, right?" And I said, "Oh, shit." She said, "Now, I like that Around the World Twice that you did. That was my first book that came out." And she said, "But that Peaches and Cream, I love that book." I was like,
"Grandma,
totally his best, right?" And she said, "Now, you know, your granddaddy been dead for a couple years. I need you to find me a Bryce." That was one of the
questions
in the book. Yeah, she said, "I need you to find me a Bryce. And that boy who did the book trailer with you, he got a brother or uncle or something? Because he was fine." I said, "Grandma, get off my phone now."
Love it.
I officially want to get to know your grandmother as well, because that is just amazing.
That is fantastic.
Hilarious. My grandmother's off the chain and absolutely positively hilarious. Like, most people would be like, oh, my grandma can't have that. Please. I say more stuff to my grandmother than I will tell anybody else in the world. My grandmother is a woman first, and she has had 7 kids, so nothing is shocking to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it. So your grandmother's one. She's, like, still all about the sex and the men, and you're okay to talk about it with her?
Absolutely. My grandmother's great. Like, you know, everybody was worried, oh, my God, you have gay sex in the book. How does your mother feel about this? And, like, Twitter really tried, you know, you get these people who hit you on Twitter. How does your family feel about that? And that is not about God and the Bible. And then I break the Bible down, and I tell them it was written by Shakespeare, and he was a known homosexual. And I make them feel really stupid. And they're like, well, what does your grandma say? I told them, baby, my grandma told me gay was happy. And we are all happy in my house. So,
damn right.
So my grandma loved it. Loved every bit of it.
I have to say, and I think I'm going to speak on behalf of everybody, you are amazing. And I'd love to have you back on the show again. You are fantastic.
Anytime you guys will have me, I would love to come back and cut up. Can I tell another quick story and maybe you can bring me back
then?
Okay.
Absolutely.
You were totally talking about, like, how you mixed up the theme songs and played them at the beginning of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So funny. So, like, I never heard the theme songs to the show because, like, when people play the theme songs to the studio audience, we're still backstage, like, getting ready, getting dressed. Well, I'm 36 years old, and I'm single. So I go out of town, and I meet this guy, and I think, you know, we've been talking for a while, but we live 3,000 miles away. I think I'm finally about to get some, right? So I put on, like, this sexy outfit, whatever, whatever. I'm staying with him for a week, and I get in the bed, and I'm, like, waiting for him to get in the bed. I'm all cute. And he goes, it's a rare condition to stay in Maine.
No.
And they're going, but wait, I don't even know what's going on, right? I'm like, what the hell are you saying? So he's looking at me, and then I didn't realize until he got finished with the whole theme song, and he goes, da-da-dun-dun-dun, and I was like, wait a minute, is that Family Matters? And he said, yeah. So my erection, I don't have a dick, but I have dick envy. So my erection just went down completely, right? And I was like, okay, this is over. I'm going to the airport. I'm not staying here. My therapy is to write, right? So I'm at the airport. There's no flight. I'm, like, totally stuck there for, like, 4 or 5 more hours. So I start this book, and it's called The Stupid Guy Diaries. And I hope to have it come out next year. And it will explain all the stupid things that you have to go through, how there's male groupies, and why I'm still single at 36.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
love it.
Did he really go through the entire theme
it.
Song?
The entire
Did he really go through the entire theme song?
The worst part is I had no clue what he... I was not a part of the regular cast of Family Matters. My picture didn't happen at the front of the show. I got back end credits. I didn't know the theme song. I never watched Family Matters.
Did he not stop after he saw the what the fuck is he doing face?
Yes, exactly. I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? I have on
the hell are you doing?
Today.
That's when you, like... Wait, you don't know what the hell I'm singing? No. What the hell is going on? Then you move it to, I don't know. You just change it up.
Totally.
Like, and what part of that did he think was going to be sexy? Like, that's what blows my mind.
You have, men are so unsexy. Like, I don't even, I was utterly confused. I'm still utterly confused. Like, I've asked him several times, you know, what the hell were you thinking and why would you? Of course, like, I'm no longer romantically interested in him because that was not romantic.
Right.
But what could you possibly have been thinking?
All right, everybody, be sure to tune in tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time, for guest Sherry Johnson and Dennis White. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and stay tuned for the UCR Rewind of Chick Chat. Enjoy, and we will see you all tomorrow.
Boom, boom, boom.
into the Hottest New Radio Show on Uncensored Radio. That's right, TikTok has invaded the airwaves once again, and we're ready to get it started. I'm your host, Daisy, and on the line with me tonight, we have the ever-fabulous Miss Carrie Kasky.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have two newcomers to the show tonight. We have the very talented LaToya Nash.
Hello.
Hi.
And we have the ever-eccentric Norma De La Cruz.
Hello.
Hi, Norma.
How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm everything.
Oh,
I am.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Only about 60,000 people listening. It's all good.
Oh,
I'm not be nervous then.
No question at all.
No.
The light on the load.
I know, right? Yeah. They don't care. Yeah. They like it when we mess up. That's their favorite part.
Right. That's, well, I know that's my favorite part. Especially
right.
on your favorite, you know, mm-hmm. That's a good show. But before we get started on our topics tonight, I want to introduce the audience to these wonderful ladies that we just introduced. Let's start off with Norma. Norma, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, my name's Norma. I was born and raised in Pico Rivera. I am single, currently looking, but still single.
I am ready to mingle.
Girl, I'm a master of pepper. I can hook you up. I'm just saying.
What? You never hook me up.
You never asked me to.
For sure, she can get a Power Ranger because that's what
right. Yeah, oh, that's just a Power Ranger stash of men.
Okay, never mind.
They all like have like six packs, and they're all like athletic and yeah.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
I'm sorry, Norma. Right. Keep telling us how fabulous you are, Norma. Sorry.
Well, what else? I am currently in between jobs. I'm not working right now, but I do have a degree in liberal studies with a minor in Chicano studies. And what
else? Wait. Hold on. I want to know what that Chicano studies are because I'm apparently...
Right. So what is Chicano studies? It's pretty much, you know, just a study of your heritage, study of how the Chicanos, you know, intertwine with today's society. It could be anything between, you know, with psychology, sociology, the health issues that Chicanos seem to have different health issues than obviously other races, but every race has their own, you know, health issues. And it's just pretty much learning about your own heritage, your own history.
Who is a Chicano? Like, what does that consist of? Who's Chicano?
Chicano is a Mexican American, could be Latin, you know, pretty much from something having to do with Mexican heritage.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's Chicano.
Okay, well, so, because I'm half Cuban, so because I'm half Cuban, technically, if I just say that I'm full Cuban, I wouldn't be a Chicana because I have no Mexican heritage. Is that correct?
If you were full Cuban, yes, but I know you have some Mexican in you. But,
girl,
yeah.
No, we've had a little Mexican in us. I'm just saying.
I think we've all had a little Mexican in us.
You know, my friend Brooklyn Day, a great artist, his mom makes this dish called Chicana. Like, it's so good. I just was wondering if it was, you know, I don't know if it's related. I don't even know why I just said that. But it's kind of mad. So I just threw it out there.
Yeah, you get off the sentence too, girl. Don't worry.
That ain't no rule to the conversation.
When she comes back in town, I'll call you.
Wait a minute. Then you gotta call both of us because I want to try this fabulous dish.
You won't eat beef, so you're out.
I do. What are you talking about?
Oh, all right, so okay.
You thought I was Karen, didn't you?
I did.
Okay. Karen, apparently I sound way too much like you. Apparently we
are safe. This is what I hear. You're my boy twin, according to LaToya's test. LaToya's known me forever. Like, LaToya and I, we went to junior high together. We've known each other since seventh grade. Both from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I'm sorry. Norma, are you done? We just keep interrupting. You're just so interesting.
Sure,
it's hard to listen.
I'm entertained as well, but I was going to put in there, too, that Karen and Daisy do sound so much alike. I don't know who's talking.
I have no clue.
Sorry.
Sorry.
That's okay. But, you're figuring it out. I got a little more squeak to my voice, and that's Karen. I'm going to have to go, and this is Daisy. So, okay, Karen, we're going to have to introduce ourselves so that the girls can tell us apart. But
I'm going to have to figure it out.
Eventually.
I'm going to forget.
Okay. Going back to this whole Chicano studies, and this is my last question for Norma, but who's the most influential Chicano in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, I really hold Cesar Chavez really, really highly up there. But, you know, not to sound all cliche, but I really do like George Lopez. I think he did make a difference as far as,
I agree.
Kind of the flesh out there.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Like, George Lopez is a revolutionary in the TV industry. Like, he's doing it.
Yeah, I feel like because of his popularity, you kind of can really see what, you know, what we've kind of been raised into, and everybody else can see how we were raised, you know?
Ooh. I feel like we're going to have a lot of this coming up. I have a really good feeling about this. So, not to cut you off, Norma, but we'll get back to you.
No, that's fine.
LaToya, can you tell the listeners what you think for a living?
I am an actor as well, and I'm a singer. I just came out with a new EP in August. It's titled Him, .. And I've been performing at various venues throughout the U.S. Soon will be House of Blues Houston. That's the next stop. And I also just started a coaching and acting company where I do private sessions with those who want to learn more about acting or public speaking or actually even singing. Tomorrow I will be donating a free workshop to a charter school in South Dallas, and I will be teaching grade 3-8 all about acting, and they'll get to perform, so that should be fun as well. And then I also just started a bath and body company, which will go live, I believe, November 10th. And it is male and female fragrances, lotions, all natural, wonderful stuff. So you'll hear a lot more about that. So I'm a busy bee.
I see that. But I had to read up because, you know, I have to be informed of who's going to be on the show. And I'm really nosy. So, and this is Daisy. Karen would already know this. But actually, studied at the Actors Studio in Manhattan. That's kind of huge. How was that experience for you?
I did. I mean, I learned a lot. I thought I knew what I was doing, and I found out I didn't know a damn thing. So, 3 years studying hard in crazy New York. I mean, unforgettable experience. Great experience for me. I mean, just totally took me, broke me down and built me back up into, you know, now I have a toolbox and I actually know what I'm doing, which is so much better than just getting up there reading it. You know, Ashley studied with a lot of different people, you know, unlike myself. I really didn't do it. I just kind of thought I'd be good at it and tried it and realize really soon that you do need to have a toolbox. You do need to study. If you're interested in singing or acting or whatever, you need to know what it is about and why it's important and why it's important to know what you're doing, you know, all those things. So it was a great experience, I have to say.
You have a movie coming up?
There's one, Transatlantic Coffee, that should be on iTunes, I think, tomorrow. It did really well in the festival circuit and all that, and they just got a distribution deal. So that should be probably tomorrow. And then Trapped is a feature I recently shot. And I just got details about its first, it also just got a distribution deal. So hopefully that will be in theater soon. That's what I'm hoping for. I need to read my email and figure out what's going on with that. But that one is really exciting because it's a horror film. And I play a French onlooker. So basically you can pay online to watch people get murdered. Yeah, there's a message. So, yeah, that movie is called Trapped, and it should be out soon. Really, really excited about that one. I mean, I get to die, which is what I really wanted to do, but, you know, I got to be a gross person who watches that sort of thing. So that was cool, too. And I got to do a little French.
So you're a singer that has this new EP that came out. You have a couple of movies under your belt. You have a company doing bath and body products. And you're coaching and teaching acting classes. I mean, now I know for sure that you're Karen Ashley's friend because you're in, like, 50 things at once.
Yes, that's what we do.
And now a radio show. I tell you.
So, I mean, you only get one shot at this, so you might as well do everything you wanted to do. I mean, you know, I'm very respectful of the elderly, and I love to talk to them about life, and they all tell me the same thing. You know, I wish I would. Don't let anything stop you. Do it before this ties you down or this changes. So that's what I'm trying to do.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm so glad all you guys are with us tonight. So I say, chicks, let's get to chatting. What do you guys have to say on the topic of what would you do if one of your family members disapproved of your significant other? So, example, it could be your mother called a brother, sister, and you have either a boyfriend or a husband. Have you guys ever been into that type of a situation? Karen? And she said,
did you call me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like you said, I'm doing 70 million other things. I was on the chat room talking to some of the chatters. What was the question again? What if a family member disapproves?
Yeah, someone that you're either dating or your husband. Have you been in that situation?
You know what? Not directly. Like, it's funny because my family is such a great family. They've never just, like, they're kind of the people that they will love whoever you love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is, you know, my ex before the one that I'm with now and I love, they absolutely hated him. And I had no idea. You know, I guess I had clues, you know, because they were kind of just, you know, displeased with some of the things he would do or the way he was or the way he was raised. And it was just, that's when I realized that you really need to date people that were raised similar to you. Because if you bring someone who wasn't about family and they didn't have a family, and then all of a sudden here you are, you've always had a family and you're a family, they're kind of not really comfortable in that situation. And you're in love, so you don't really see it. You just say, oh, they're quiet, or oh, this and this, and you kind of make excuses for them. But really, they make your family uncomfortable. So they never put me in a position to where they were like, choose him or choose us. Like, they wouldn't ever do that to me. But it was so shocking to know that they really didn't like him from the very start. Didn't like him, you know. So now the guy that I'm with now who, you know, he's all about family. I'm all about family. We've been together, you know, we're going on 3 years. he's like, they love him. They just, oh my gosh, you know, but it's a difference. Like, I see how they try and talk to him, how they're trying to get to know him, how they ask about him all the time, where the other one, they would never even, they would never even care to ask. So,
but you didn't find out until after, right?
Yeah. What was that?
You didn't find out until after you had broken up with him?
Right, right, yeah. And then they kind of go, oh, you know, I never really liked him. Or they, you know, they kind of have like a moment to confess how they really felt about him. And they were like, you know, when I was moving on and they knew I was definitely moving on and I wasn't holding on to it, they were like, we're kind of happy. You know, they didn't want to discourage me when I was in that phase of I could go back or not stay with or whatever. But they definitely, you know, didn't like him. But I was lucky because I know friends who, I mean, seriously, their family, the other family wages war against, you know, and it's them or me, you know, so I'm lucky that they didn't put me in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I just, I think I know.
See, my family's like yours, Karen, for sure. Mine is just like Karen's. Like, we have so much in common, it's ridiculous. But
yeah,
mine is very much, if you like it, we love it. But definitely, you know, if they go down the list, it's always, ooh, we are so glad that didn't work. But I wouldn't have found that out. Until later.
And aren't you like, then, aren't you kind of like, oh, when they do that to you, like, why didn't you tell me? I could have got out
right.
2 years ago. Like,
right. And you know what they say? Well, you didn't ask.
What?
Mm-hmm. What? You know, but that's my mom.
Oh,
she's like, if you like it, it is far be it for me to tell you who you should and should not be with now. But now, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. My mom is that type of person. I can tell her a worse thing, short of anything abusive. I can tell her, you know, he just cheated on me, I just caught him, da-da-da, and he can walk in the room and won't know she knows. Like, she's that kind of mom. Whereas my sisters and brothers, and I have five of them, they would, you know, literally kill the guy. So, yeah, I mean, but they're very much, if you want to be with that guy, we'll be accepting of that. But if you don't like him, probably won't know if it's over. But I do know friends who they, I mean, it's full out. I hate him. I don't want him around. And quite frankly, I don't think, unless there's something, like I said, of an abusive nature going on, I don't really agree with it because we have to learn on our own and we have to. And it seems to me when you wage these wars, it kind of makes them stay with the guy or whatever.
Yes.
But they usually,
I feel like if you keep telling somebody not to do it, I feel like they're just going to want to do it even more to prove to you wrong, even though they shouldn't be in that relationship. So sometimes it's better just to be there to listen and, you know, or you don't want to listen to it, just, you know, step away or step aside from it. But definitely, like, when people don't want to listen or, you know, how Karen said that sometimes you're blind when you're in a relationship, that you don't want to see it until after the relationship's over, then you think, oh, yeah, I didn't like that either about him, you know, or I didn't like the fact that my parents didn't ask about him or wonder what he's up to when I'm in that relationship.
Not to mention, you know, us girls who were raised well, we'll see it eventually anyway. I mean, the lovey-dovey, whatever, all that stuff wears off, and eventually you are left with a person, and you have to decide, oh, man, I see what you look like now. I don't like you, you know, or I do. So eventually everybody does. He will reveal himself, and hopefully you can make an informed decision. But, yeah, telling people not to do it is a surefire way to get them to continue to do it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I actually know personally of a situation where it's an individual who is dating the particularly wrong person. Now, this is a guy, and he's dating a girl that nobody in the family likes. That you can obviously see that he is just blinded. I think that it's more of him trying to convince himself. Like, he's always saying that he's so happy, and he's great, and sex is awesome. And I'm like, listen, that bitch is like 20 years older than you. There is no way in God's green earth that sex is awesome and she's giving it to you every day because that's just retarded. It's not going to happen. Sorry, that was totally politically not correct, and I held my tongue for that. But no, I just don't understand. And the things that she puts him through and the things that he's willing to put up with, I'm just like, don't you see it? And then I'm thinking, I can't see anything until the point that he has to go, you know what, I made a mistake, help me. That's the only time that I can say something. But if your whole family has an issue with it, how do you deal with that?
I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, you can't date. I don't think you can date. Anybody can date for their family. So, you know, and sometimes families are, you know, sometimes it could be, oh, he doesn't have enough this, or he's not, you know, it could be surface stuff. And until you figure out unfortunately, it might be working for you and it doesn't work for them. You can't love and date for other people. So, I mean, we can say whatever we want to say and we might not agree with it, but if that person is cool with it, you kind of have to wait until they're not, unless there's something major going on that where you just have to speak up. You have to let them go through it. We've all been with losers, all of us.
Yeah, I think, especially coming from family, telling somebody like, oh, I don't like that person for you, or you're making it very difficult for them to come around the family, I think it makes it even harder because you want to stay with them because you feel so bad for them or for whatever reason, because if it's 20-year difference, then maybe you feel like they're lonely and they haven't found somebody, so you feel sorry for them and you stay in that relationship, but you do convince yourself. You know, a lot of women and some men, I'm sure, convince themselves to stay in that relationship for that reason, for whatever reason that they have, and it's not working out. But when it comes from family, not to be with them, I feel like people just stay with that significant other just to prove to their family wrong. Like, to prove their family wrong or to try to keep trying to work on it just so that they could feel like they're happy, but they're not. It's a fairy tale type of happiness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was younger, and this is Daisy, not Karen, I had a relationship and I had a boyfriend, and my mother, well, my dad's very, very quiet and he's very conservative. He never really has much to say unless it's like something serious, but my mom is very opinionated, very loud, very much like me. And she was just like, I don't like him. And I'm like, but why, Mom? I love him. And of course, you know, you're in high school, so everything's very dramatic, very, you know, it's the end of the world. And, you know, after a while, and she just kept saying this. She's like, I don't like him. Like, I don't like him. She wouldn't let me go out with him. She wouldn't let me do anything. She's like, if you want to stay with him, and then he has to come over here. And she would make it really, really hard. Like, I couldn't hold hands with the guy. Like, I couldn't kiss him, obviously. Like, I was at my parents' house. But it got to the point where I was just like, you know what? This isn't worth it. Like, I don't want to upset my mom. This is way too much trouble. Like, goodbye, see ya, you know. But I can't imagine doing that, like, it was with my husband or something. Then I don't know. And I see people do it all the time. They choose family over their relationship, or they choose their relationship over their family, and I feel that that's very unfair.
Yeah.
No?
I see it all the time, too. Yeah.
What's unfair?
It's unfair that you have to choose one or the other. I think you should be able to have both. Like, either your family needs to back off, or you need to reevaluate your relationship and go, hey, listen to what they're saying. Let me see if they have any validity to what they're saying, not just, I don't like her or I don't like him, I have a feeling.
Well, looking back, do you feel like she was right? Like, her not liking him, or do you feel like she was on point, but she just wouldn't articulate, you know, this is why he's no good for you, or?
No, she would say exactly, she's just like, you know, he's no good for you, he's up to no good, I'm not stupid. Like, I didn't know what weed smelled like back then, but apparently she did, and she's just like, I know the drugs, and I'm like, no, Mom, he would never do drugs. What are you talking about? And she's just like, I feel it. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Little do I know, I'm hugging a fucking skunk over here. You know, I had no idea what weed smelled like back then. But she did have a point, because I saw him after I graduated college, maybe 2 years after working at Home Depot, and I was like, yeah, that's your life, this is my life. Oh,
That's good.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
There's really nothing you can do. I mean, you just have to, you really just have to do what's best for you. And again, if they're scumbags or whatever the reason, and you know, if it's a valid reason for your family not to like them, it's kind of, and that's, it'll reveal itself. I mean, hopefully sooner
right.
or later, but it always comes out. I mean,
right.
we'll even, you know, the guy I'm talking about, the guy Karen's talking about, I mean, it eventually showed up. And we, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, our parents instilled in us, you know, good, strong values, we knew what we had to do once it showed
right.
up. So, I mean, that's
exactly.
really all you can do. That's really
right.
all you can do. You can't tell somebody who and who not to love. That's just,
right.
like I said, that's just a surefire recipe to keep it going.
Right.
Yeah.
Now tell me this.
I feel
is it different if, like, your friends don't love him?
Well,
I don't
friends
are
like,
he ain't no good for you. He doesn't, you know how friends, like, all of a sudden
it takes me a long time. Yeah, it takes me a long time to even bring my friends around somebody I'm dating, so that's neither here nor there. It takes a minute, you know. That's me and my woman issues. But, yeah, it'll be a while before they even. But I feel like they're kind of, if they're good friends, their opinion is probably along, you know, it's probably on par with what you've already been hearing anyway.
I feel like it. Like me personally, I act different when I'm around my family than when I'm around my friends. If my friend comes up to me and tells me, oh, I don't like so-and-so, you know, for whatever X reason or whatever, I feel like I would listen more than if my mom was telling me, I don't like, you know, so-and-so for you or anything like that. That's just me, though. I think my friends know me better than my mom does because I don't have that close relationship with my mom like you girls do. But for me, if somebody was to tell, like if a friend, one of my best friends was to tell me, I don't like so-and-so, I think I would take it to the heart because I'm that kind of person that needs my friends to accept my, you know, significant other, whoever that might be. So I feel like I would listen more. But every person I think is just different. It just depends on how your relationship is with your friends and your family.
See, and I'm totally opposite from you, Norma. Like, I really don't care if my friends accept
right.
me. Obviously, it's important because you want to go out in the same circles, but
right.
I hold my brother's opinions or my mother's opinion or my father's opinion much higher than my friends. Like, if Katrina told me, which she has in the past before, like, I don't like him, and I'm like, well, that's kind of too bad because I do. You know?
Right.
And it's
yeah.
like, I'm sorry, but I mean, and she's told me, I have friends that she doesn't like. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, well, sorry, I like them. They're my friends. You know? But
right.
that's pretty crazy that you hold your friend's opinions a lot higher than your mom's. Like, that's
well, but
a
she's
very
not that close to her. She doesn't have a close relationship
no,
with her mom.
Yeah,
no.
It's not a, like, I personally know you and your mom, and I would love a relationship like that with my mom, but I know that I don't. But, I mean, I would listen to what she says, but I do hold, I'm being honest here, I do hold my friend's
yeah.
opinion stronger than, you know, and it's not just a random friend, like, it would have to be, like, my best friend's, like,
a really close
friend I could have lived with, yeah.
What about
I mean, Karen, you know us, though. We have very different relationships with our moms. Most people don't. I didn't realize that until I was older. Most people don't have that. So, yeah, of course, we value our mom's
right.
opinion. Where some, I have many friends who don't even consult their moms on much of anything.
Right, and it's shocking
yeah.
to me. Like, I'm kind of like,
yeah.
you know what, I get that. Because, like, I will say this. Me and my mom is more of, like, a friend than she is, like,
right.
a mom. Like, she kind of... Now that I'm older and she's more like, I'm your friend, you're going to figure it out. She still tries to tell me what to do because that's just a mom.
Right.
She knows that I respect what she has to say. She knows I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm the only daughter
okay.
that she has that will sit there and listen to it and be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, like intently listen to what she has to say. And she knows I'm still going to go and do what I want to do.
Right.
But,
Like, my older sister, her and my mom, they go at it. Like, they're always arguing and, you know. But it's funny because I tell my sister, I'm like, you don't respect what she has to say. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but you should just listen to what she has to say. And because I do that, our friendship is better. Like, I'm one of her.
I think that's an older sister thing. I think because we watched those in front of us, we knew, mm-hmm. if I just be quiet and say, this will be over real quick. Mm-hmm. Whereas they feel like they have to argue for, you know, well, I can change her. My whole thing is after 30,
right.
Who are you to try to change your mom? She is what she is. Just listen.
Right.
So, yeah, I think
let
that's
it go.
Probably what that is. Yeah.
Right.
So whoever your confidant is, whether it be your friend or be your mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
hey, we all have them. So
right.
I don't know. If my friends told me they didn't like my guy, that's I'd probably laugh. And
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I could give a shit if my friends don't like my
guy. Right.
Like,
gallery.
I look at,
give a damn.
Right. And the funny thing is they date men for different reasons. Like, I'm not saying
right.
that their reason's wrong, but, you know, they have a different, you know, if you have a checklist, which I don't say that I do. I mean, I probably do. My checklist is, like, he has to have morals. He has to believe in God. He has to have
yeah.
a family and be good with his family. Like, he can't be, like, I haven't spoken to my sister or my mom in 10 years. Like, I can't have that guy
right.
in my life, you know?
Right.
So it's
we all know how that is.
Right. My things are a little bit more basic. But, like last night it was funny. We were on my other show. We were on, Guilty Pleasures. And we were talking to Cherry Johnson, and I was like, I had said something about, girl, you know, I can hook you up, whatever. I was like, what is your list of requirements? And it was so funny because she was like, he must have a 401k, he must have health insurance. And I was
hey,
like, well, right, but this is the thing. Like, I was like, oh, well, I guess, okay. I said, my list just went from like 50 to like 2. We were just
right.
joking with her, and I was like, she was like, he must have a job. Like, so there's a different thing. And I'm not saying I don't want my guy to have a job or I don't want him to be in good financial standings or have a savings. I'm not saying that. But there are different things that pop in my mind first.
Right.
So I always look at my
yeah.
friends and if they go, well, I don't like him for you or blah, blah, blah. I'm kind of like, well, you know, like, what is it that you don't like? Because he's a good person and he treats me good. You know, I'm not going to be
right.
with some dude that's, you know, calling me out my name or being crazy. So what is it that you don't like? Is it just that you and it usually it's never anything substantial or it's usually coming from a place that you don't hang out with us as much.
Right. And I didn't like the way he looked at me when I said such and such. You know, that just got, I was like, what is
right.
he hiding?
Right. Right.
So then that brings or, up, Karen, you would totally do, you want romance as opposed to financial
development.
No.
So
say,
no. I need it all. Don't get me wrong. It's a whole package. My checklist. I need it all. Trust me. My list though starts with different things. So.
Okay. So let me rephrase it. Would you rather live in love and in poverty or not poverty?
Oh, I've already told you this.
Yes, but I want to hear the other girl's take because I was the
yeah.
only one that know that I wouldn't like, okay, I love romance and I love love and everything else and I'm a mushy person
mm-hmm.
and I love hugs and kisses and I'll do sweet things, but at
mm-hmm.
the end of the day, like, finance is a huge key. So if
right.
I met someone
well, this was
that
the question.
Wasn't working,
well, right,
the question was,
would you rather be in love and broke? Or would you rather be with someone you have absolutely no love with, but you're rich? And my choice was love and broke because I said, I've had a taste of real love. I've had a taste
yeah.
of that. And nothing compares to when you really are connected with a guy, when he really loves you for you and all the bullshit you bring, and he still looks at you and go, oh, I love you, you know? I was like, I've been broke most of my life. Like, you know, I don't consider myself rich. I don't consider myself poor, you know, but I don't consider myself rich. So it ain't really that far-fetched if we're both hustling together. So it's no big deal.
Plus, we are talking about Karen.
Love,
they won't be broke long.
Right, exactly. So it's like, I think the love and bro, because I was like, nothing compares to that, that real love. And Daisy was like, nope, I'd rather be rich.
She was like, fuck that.
You know why? Because I have been in a relationship where it was like, it was love and it was great and everything else. But let me just tell you, when the going got tough, it was hard. It was really hard. And I'm talking about my relationship now. I've been with my husband married now for 6 years, but together for 12 years. And I'll be the first one to say that it has not been easy. It has been a long road. There's been several issues that we've been able to get through and together, yes. But, ma'am, let me just tell you that finance is a huge thing. It's not easy. And no matter how much you love someone, it is so hard to get sidetracked and go, you know what? I love you, but I love me more, and I'm not going to kill myself over this, you know?
I think that's a good point, because I do see a lot of relationships break up because of finance, and it's not that they love each other less at that time or what have you. It's just they're struggling so much, and it puts such a strain on the relationship that they just can't deal with being with each other anymore, and it doesn't work out. But I feel like a lot of the relationships I see, they break up because of financial reasons.
Yep.
You know, one's not making enough, or they're struggling, and it's hard for them to stay together.
Statistically,
so, but
most
I don't...
marriage ends because of financial difficulty. And a lot of people don't know that. And I think that, yes, romance is a huge part, and love is a huge part. You should never get married if you're not in love with that person. And I think that's a testament to show you how much I really do love my husband. Because let me just tell you, if I didn't, I would be out that mother-loving door and never look back. Because it hasn't been easy. But you know what? We got through it together, and, you know, thank God and everything else. But at the same time, it's like, if I were to go back and need to get married again, I would make sure that both of us were financially stable, because it does put a huge strain on the relationship. You get to hate the other person because you start going, well, I'm doing this. What are you doing? And then they tell you the same thing, and you're just like, what? What are you talking about? So it's not easy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know which one I would choose, honestly, because I am a hopeless romantic, and I would love to say, you know, I choose love and poverty, but at the end of the day, I don't feel like I would be happy struggling so much to, you know, stay in love with that person. Exactly what you're saying. It's so difficult, and it puts a strain in the relationship, but in my fairy tale mind, I would choose, you know, love over and poverty over riches, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, in my mind, too, though, Norma, because, I mean, I'm the queen of hopeless romantics. My ass got married at Disneyland, so trust me, like, I know what it's like to have that fairy tale mentality. I'm serious.
You did not. You got married at Disneyland. All this time I've known you, I did not know this.
Yes,
yeah,
wow.
I was there.
Norma was there.
She came out in a horse and carriage and everything.
It was
wow.
A Cinderella carriage. I had all that shit. Girl, that's
wow.
Girl.
Wow.
You were here last week. I was on with Karen and Michael, and we were talking about that, how society now, like, you know, we spend absolutely out of our means. And I was in debt, $74,000. And, yes, I had a beautiful wedding at Disneyland, but, man, I don't regret it per se, but I would have done things a hell of a lot differently. I mean, I really didn't need a Cinderella carriage, but that goes to show you that I am a hopeless romantic. So, well, let me just tell you, it is not easy. We did our fair share of, you know, maybe we should take a break real quick and reevaluate this. And it's not easy, let me just tell you. So I wanted to get onto our next topic, because Norma brought this up. And Karen and I actually know an individual that's going through somewhat of this. And you know, I wanted to know your guys' take on an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, ex-husband, whatever your ex is, ex-ex. When is it too far? When is it that they're calling or wanting to get you back or their revenge or their scorn or whatever it may be? When is it too much? And when do you go, all right, you need to stop, you need to quit? Like, this is really, really getting old.
It's a good question. I'm not sure about what you're asking. When is it too? When are they going too much?
Let me put it to you this way: have you ever had an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend? Because I don't know what you're into. And in this show, we love everybody. have you ever had an ex that has gone too far?
No, we don't. We don't love everybody.
Right.
Baby sweet and nice. I don't love everybody.
I don't either. Let's just get that straight right now.
Okay, so I love everybody. Karen definitely does not. Latoya's on the fence, and Norma, she's
not. No, I'm not. I don't love everybody. I'm not on the fence.
Okay. When do they go too far as, you know, you've broken up with them. Let me paint a scenario for you. You cheated on your significant other. Let's just say that you didn't actually physically cheat. You didn't have sex with anybody else. You just were talking to somebody else. You decided, hey, you know what? I'm not happy in the relationship that I'm in. I'm going to start going out with this other said person that, you know, I'm talking to. It's considered cheating because you are talking to another individual while you're in a relationship, and you break up with this person. And this person says, no, I'm not willing to let go.
I know, Deja's getting too complicated. What she's saying is this. What if this person, okay, let's say it's me and you, Latoya. I was dating someone, and I broke up with him for whatever reason. Maybe I cheated, maybe he cheated, maybe we just drifted apart. But he's still trying to, like, he almost goes in the revenge mode where he's tagging you, my friend, on Facebook. He's calling you to try and, you know, talk bad about me. And it's just a mess. Like, it's getting to the point where it's not just me that I'm dealing with. It's spilling over into all my other friendships. And he's just causing a ruckus, basically. Right?
So what's the question?
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? Like,
how do you deal with
like
that?
Me, I have one take on it. Like, we're going through it with this a friend of ours, and I'm telling Daisy, don't communicate with him because you're giving him hope. He thinks because you're you know, a good, close, personal friend that he still has an edge. He still has a way to get to her. But if you cut him off, then he has nothing. He has absolutely nothing. He's going to do one of two things. He's going to, you know, he'll probably freak out, but you know what? Eventually he'll have to move on. Because he has nothing left, no ties to this person. But if you keep the communication open, he still has hope. Like, crazy people have hope.
this individual is genuinely a nice person. However, because this said friend has broken up with him, he is just not letting go. And I keep so
I don't think he's genuinely a nice person, though. That's where I think you and I disagree.
Well,
I don't know the guy, but the stories I've heard have been bad enough to realize this person's not the person for her. He's not bringing anything to her life. He's causing havoc in her life. And he's got issues deeper than anything she could help him with. When people are
I think it doesn't matter whether he is or whether he isn't a good person. It's not the issue. If Karen is my friend and I don't want her talking to my ex, she shouldn't be talking to him. I mean, that's my friend, not his. So it doesn't matter how nice he is or how whatever the hell he is. Why the hell is my good friend who precedes him, Karen, even giving him an audience? That would piss me off. I mean, my friends are my friends. So sort of calling saying, I haven't seen Toya in 2 weeks. Can you help me? Because I'm worried. They shouldn't be talking about my business with each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's if
each other
is my friend, she should cut it. She should just cut it.
I would just tell the guy, or I would just tell the ex, you know what?
you know, Karen's my friend. I cannot be talking to you right now until you deal with, you know, maybe we shouldn't be talking at all after this, or just, you know, right now for the time being, until you get over my friend, I can't talk to you. I can't, you know.
Be talking at all. There's no time left.
Right.
If my friend is done, that was my man. Karen is my friend. If I'm done with that man, Karen is still my friend. They shouldn't be talking anyway. What is the conversation? Why are you talking? For what?
Well, I look at it this way. I come from the place where if you break up, then we break up too. Like,
exactly.
We're not going to be chummy. I don't like those friends who keep the ex-boyfriends. And they'll be like, but we were good friends. I'm just like, nope. If I break up, you break up. All communication ceases.
What happens if, let's say, in the beginning you were friends with both and then they got together. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning you were friends with
That's different. Because now you're both friends, and like she said, friendships precede anything that happens after. But that's different.
But if your only connection to him is that he used to be my man, then you're friendship obligated to drop him.
And then I think it complicates things. I think it complicates things when someone else's voice is in there, even if it's for good reason. It still complicates things, especially with emotion and love.
Yeah, I feel like a relationship should never be messed with as far as, like, going in and trying to, you were wrong on this, or, you know what, he was wrong on this, and, you know, trying to mend the relationship if you're a friend coming in. I don't ever think that's a good idea. If you're a counselor, you're trained for it, go for it, but when it comes to, like, one friend trying to be the mediator for both, I never think that should really happen, because then the friendship kind of gets
ruined. What do they know? I mean, we're all friends. You know what I mean? Like, who are you to tell me what I did? You know, nobody was there with a full out except for me and this guy. So my friend has no business being the referee anyway. That stuff never ends well anyway. And all
that's
it is,
why, all it is,
then
is
you
going
end up,
back and
then
forth.
You might even end up losing your friend too, because you're like, why won't she leave this alone? Like, why is she in this, or you know, or he in this? It's just when you're in a relationship, you break up with that guy, your friends and your family have to break up with him too. I mean, it's really that simple. Move on. He's done.
But let me ask you something. And going back, you know, whether or not this person should, you know, be dealing with this said individual, because let's basically face it, this is, and I'm gonna lay it out there because it's my business, so I can do that. I was contacted, okay? I'm the one that was contacted. I was called, and
he called you, right?
No, he called me. And
they're going to always contact you. Like, that's the thing. They're going to, because they want any tie to them.
But this is the thing. I was contacted, and the only reason that I did talk to this said individual was for two reasons. One, he was very, very violently angry, and I didn't want anything to happen because anything could happen. I've literally seen this person the first time I met them smash a glass into somebody's face. Like, it's no
That's
joke.
Even more reason to not communicate.
Right,
why do you think you
could prevent that? Why do you think you could prevent him from being violent? Do you think you can keep a man from being violent?
The thing.
Why?
I've dealt with a lot of individuals. I work for the government, and I do have a job where I need to be able to deal with people with different attitudes and different ways of thinking, and a bit psychologically, because my job has a lot to do with how to raise people, how to calm them down, how to walk them off the ledge out of certain situations. So, yeah, I am qualified to a degree to which to back him down off that ledge, which, trust me, he was on that perpetual ledge. Now, have I cut communication with him? Yeah, I haven't talked to him since. But there's been certain tags that Karen and I have both been attached to.
I don't know how I got attached to this. Like, I've never talked to the guy once, and I'm always been getting tagged.
He was reaching out, girl.
So we've been tagged on social media outlets. We've been, you know, that longer, people are asking, and it's just like, this, you know, this situation was diffused and it was dealt on Saturday, and I understand that it, this person is hurt and angry and everything, and you know what? That's fine. He has every right to be confused and angry or whatever, because everybody is entitled to their own feelings. Everybody feels differently. You can do something to me, and I can absolutely feel nothing about it. But you can do something to Karen, the same thing that you did to me, and she can blow up at you. That's just personality, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So from now on, it's like, now all the texts and the tweets and the Facebook and all that stuff, it's kind of just like, all right, now what? Now it's like, I feel like I need to tell this person, hey, you know what? You need to stop, because it's starting to interfere with other projects and other things, and it's not cool.
Right, but now I'm kind of like, if you call him, it's almost like he knows that you have listened. Indirectly,
like
crazy thinking, if you're paying attention. If you call him out and say, look, you need to stop, it's almost like we start back at zero. But if he's not getting any kind of response, any kind of reaction, nothing, I think he'll go away. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's going to ask that for a little
absolutely.
While. But I think if you pick up a phone and you call him, Daisy, he's going to be like, oh, well, she saw it. I, they're listening. I know if she saw it, then I know such and such saw it, because she's going to talk
right.
to her about it. Like, it's almost
never
like give them hope.
You want somebody to go away, you ignore them. You don't, well, just stop it. I mean, well, oh, I got her now. Let me keep it up. What's she going to do next?
Right.
I mean, like you said.
Yeah, I think anger has, like, a different personality in each person, that even if you tell him, okay, stop, don't tag me, he might stop. But the moment he gets that anger again or that rage, he's going to go back to doing what he's doing, because, you know, you're not thinking when you're angry. You're not thinking when you're enraged. You're
mm-hmm.
just going to keep going at it because
yeah.
you noticed that it bothered her or it bothered her friend. So,
right.
yeah, I feel like if you ignore it, I don't think it's going to go away, but he's not going to be able to go. He's going to give up on going through your Facebook or your Twitter or everything, because he feels it's not, you know, it's not going anywhere the way
yeah.
he's tagging you.
Well, I mean, hopefully this is a way to do it indirectly, because I know that he's listening, because he has been stopping the Uncensored Radio. I know that he has been talking to Uncensored Radio. I know that he was trying to get through yesterday to talk to Karen.
Listen, homie, don't tag me. It won't work out. That's all I'm saying.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, get the step and you've been replaced. It's over.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I feel horrible that someone's heart is broken. But the reality is, there's nothing you can do about it. Once a woman
no.
gets to a place, R. Kelly once wrote a song, and it said,
when
a woman's
fed up,
there's nothing
yeah.
you can do about it. And go listen to it, because if R. Kelly, this man is absolutely insane and has, I mean, but he's at least a musical genius in the sense that
he
keeps it real.
Keeps it real.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, a woman will go through it, she'll go through it, she'll go through it.
Right.
But when she reaches that point where she's fed up, there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing we could do about it. Like, there's nothing I can say to that person to make them love you again. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing Dave can say. Nothing. It is what it is.
Anyway, leave that stuff alone. Then, you know, you start finding out stuff about your friend that you don't even really. I would rather have not known what she did to you that night, you know,
mm-hmm.
after. I mean, it's just certain stuff. Leave that where it is. And quite frankly, if I'm that afraid somebody's going to do something, I need to call the police anyway. I mean, just, you shouldn't even be calling me. Call one of those crisis hotlines, do whatever you got to do. But you shouldn't be calling other friends. I mean, you know, call your friends. Don't you have friends? Like, why are you calling my girlfriend? I mean, it just gets so messy. And then your friend ends up upset with you because you even entertain. Just stay out of it. It's not your business anyway. Dude will go, I mean, ignore that dude. Block him, whatever you have to do. But I certainly wouldn't pick up a phone and say, stop it, or call him or text him, because that's exactly what he wants to happen. You have to ignore crazy people. And they get tired of being ignored, and then they find other people who listen. They kind of migrate. That's why I'm saying, Miss Toya Nash, don't put me in it, homie. That's a hopeless case.
You will be very upset.
Don't call him, you know what? This is what's
not
funny.
The right thing to do.
This is what's funny to me is that Karen and I have been kind of dealing with this over the weekend and spilled over into the week, and this was a topic that Norma brought up. So I have to ask Norma, did you have a situation like this? Phil.
No. Thankfully, I have not. I don't know, you know, why it just popped in my head, but it did, and I've actually never
Norma.
Been through it. I mean, I've been through a breakup. I've been through where I'm enraged and I'm mad and I want to, you know, do harm to that person because I'm so mad about it. But I think I have the common sense to calm myself down and say no. Like, it's stupid of me to go that route or, you know, I think people need to calm themselves down. It's just there's too many crazy people out there. And I guess that's why it popped in my head because I was just thinking about it, or it's in the news everywhere how, you know, somebody cheated and somebody went and killed them, you know?
That's true. That's true.
Exactly. And I think like, that's where I get, like, that's where I'm like, you need to cut people off. Because I feel like if they've shown signs of violence, it's like LaToya said, there is nothing any of us can do to talk that person out of being violent.
If they're really serious, I mean, why would, I'm not going to, my best, somebody's friend is not going to talk me out of doing that thing if I'm that serious. So why would I put myself in that?
Right. And I just wouldn't even want to do anything to keep that person interested. Because if I've seen them be violent to someone they don't even know, can you imagine when real feelings are involved and real, you know, issues are just ripping them apart? Like, I just feel like, oh, hell no. You need to change your locks. You need to move. You
change,
need to change
your numbers.
All friends.
And from what I know about truly violent people, they don't issue warnings. They just go do what they do.
Right.
They just go do
it.
They don't need to be. There's no talking down. They're driving to the spot to make it happen. People who are calling, talking about it, they're usually wanting the attention.
Right. And you know what's funny is because I watched that show Snap, and it's like all those people on there were normal functioning people. They were all had friends, they all had family, and all their family is like, I just can't believe she would snap. I just can't believe that this would happen. I just can't believe, and I'm like, oh, it did. And, you know, it's always because of the affairs of the heart. It's always like, they say there's a thin love between love and hate. There's a really thin line. And I just always go, I just don't play with it. Like, especially when people are stupid enough to involve their friends. And, like, it's just him trying to be desperate and he's embarrassing her. And I'm sitting here thinking, why would she be with you and you're an embarrassment? Like, you're embarrassing yourself. And you're embarrassing
me. Now I see why she left you.
No hope. I don't know. I'm not a sympathetic person to that kind of stuff, though. I will say that.
No.
I'm not a sympathetic person.
Me neither.
Like, you're done. When you're done, I'm done, and let's just keep it pushing because, you know.
I'm a strong believer that, you know, when you guys break up, there's no friendship. You know, unless you had a child with them, then, you have to see them, you know, every day of your life pretty much. But if there's no child, there's no, you know, some sort of connection that way. Once you're breaking up, there's no such thing as we could stay as friends. Because even if you guys...
I disagree. But that's going to have to wait for another time, you guys. Because I don't know if you believe it, but our show is done for tonight, ladies.
I know it's not getting into it, but guess what? You guys will be back next week, so that's, like, so exciting to have you here. It's just going to be amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
time just flew by.
I'm so glad. Like, you guys are so different from us. So, good night, everybody. Stay tuned for a guilty pleasure. We're still going to keep this
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Come back next